All right. If anyone has anything, except George, everyone else is welcome to ask a question. Come on up, George. I know you ask tough questions. I think it's over here.
Well, even in your talks today?
I don't know if I know exactly what you mean. Are you talking about the locusts coming out of the bottomless pit?
Well, I'm talking about they're reserved. I forget where the verse is.
Oh, Second Peter 2.
Darkness.
Of the angels.
Yeah.
Second Peter 2. In verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment.
Right. The chains of darkness are the is what binds them unto the day of judgment.
Yeah.
And that the chain of darkness, as I understand it, as I see it consistently through the Bible, is an inability to see the light, the true gospel.
Well, I think that's a part of it, and we know that people who are in their sin, and God likens them to being in a dungeon, to being a captive, to being a slave, to being bound by their own iniquity, it says in Proverbs, that's really what holds a person. It's their own desire, their own lust, and it wraps about them. And to them, you know, from God's perspective, it's like they're in a filthy, you know, dungeon at the bottom of the castle. But from man's perspective, hey, you know, I'm going to party this weekend. And so there's that pleasure of sin that's very deceptive, and that's the darkness that man can't discern that this is wicked, that this is evil, that this is really the worst thing ever for him. But he thinks, oh, it's pretty good, you know, able to enjoy this particular sin.
But the shame, in one sense, the shame comes when all of a sudden you are made aware of your sins. All of a sudden now you become aware of the fact that, wow, this is a shameful thing.
Right,
in God's eyes.
God...
It's in a sense, not unto salvation, but in a sense it's an awakening out of darkness for God to demonstrate.
Well, actually, God says that in Ezekiel 36, where he talks about, I'll take out your heart of stone, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And then he says in verse 29, I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. And further down, verse 31, then shall you remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight, for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I this, saith the Lord Jehovah. Let it be known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. So God, first he has to make that heart transplant, and he gives someone a new spirit, and then they become troubled. And that's exactly what we're waiting for
now. You can do that to an individual to a small degree, just to demonstrate.
He did it to a great multitude, just recently, and right now, I'm sure there's people who are saved and who are trying to go about their ordinary lifestyle, which included
sin.
Yes. Yeah, I mean that's in everybody's lifestyle.
Waking up to it.
And now they have a conscience, they're being bothered, and they probably don't know why, but it's that process.
Parent contradictions that came up during today's study.
Okay.
In Acts 16.
Acts 16.
We're talking about how Paul and Silas were in the prison.
Right.
And then it's interesting how in verse 34, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them. But then further on down, it also talks about how that they in verse 40, and they went out of the prison. So they were in prison, they were in his house, and they were back in prison again.
If you look at the earthquake, it doesn't seem like much time passed from the shaking of the foundations that opened up the prison doors until the keeper of the prison entered in. So he probably lived right there. Say someone who keeps a cemetery, they have a home right there on the grounds.
Yeah, yeah.
And he probably lived right there. And let's go into our house.
Like a caretaker on a piece of property.
Right.
She lives on and the other thing was mentioned today. In Romans 4:19-20, we talked about how we talked about the faith of Abraham, right? And I don't want to dispute what it says, but it's interesting because also in Genesis 17:17, it talks about how Abraham laughed. So I don't know. There's something just a little. I mean, whenever I see these kind of things, I know that they're big learning. They're not contradictions. They're just something that's really about to be learned here. So, I'm just curious. You brought that up. On one hand, it talks about the faith of Abraham, and on the next,
I think Kevin went to this verse. Or around here, and we know that the faith that saves in the Bible saved Abraham, saved every child of God who's ever become saved is Christ's faith. And whenever saving faith is in view, it's always Christ's faith. But then there is the faith that comes as a result of the Spirit of God, and you know that's not perfect. People like Sarah laughed also.
Yeah,
Sarah laughed, and Isaac means laugh, the name Isaac. So it was...
So I think that, to me, when I look at it, now, you know, we see this apparent contradiction, and I always say that these are always learning points. I think my understanding when I see this particular one is that it says the faith of Abraham, but in reality, we know Abraham laughed. So it could be Abraham's faith. It had to be Christ.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's... Yeah, that's one way of looking at it, and it's correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Thanks, George. You weren't too much trouble this time. Anyone else?
We have an internet question, and they're asking if you can compare Matthew 13:48.
Which when it was full, this is when they have a great, or they have a catch of fish, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away.
And John 21:11.
John, which is the catch of 153 fish. And there we don't read that any fish are cast away. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, it was not the net broken. And in an earlier gospel account, they had a great catch of fish and the net broke. But in this case, God wasn't using the church. It was just God and the individual in the world. Now, when he used the church, as recorded with the instance when the net broke, then you have problems, and a lot of people came into the churches that weren't truly saved. But during the latter rain, this period of the 6,100 days that concluded on May 21, people didn't. God wasn't sending people to the churches where there's wheat and tares. They were going to God himself through the Bible and becoming saved, and therefore none were lost. It was a great catch of fish, a great multitude that were all brought in, and the net didn't break, And he didn't have to pick out the bad from the good. It was all pointing to the elect. And that's how we could understand that. Okay. Anything else or anyone else? All right.